When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. It's an awesome show, and I'm so glad that you could join me. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. There's going to be super important information for you today. If you or somebody you know or love is having trouble making their mortgage payment or has had trouble in the past and is now on the road to recovery and needs to rebuild credit, this show is for you. Sit down, turn up the mic. I have the mic. Turn up your headphones. Turn up your radio, drive safe, and tune in, because we're going to talk about some great stuff. I have with me in the studio today Carmen Chubb. She's Deputy Commissioner of Housing at the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. She runs the Home Safe Georgia program. Carmen, welcome to WSB.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you here. It's actually nice to be here. So let's give everybody sort of the high concept of what this program is and what it's supposed to do for them.
Okay, the Home Safe Georgia program is designed to help individuals who are struggling to make their mortgage payments, make their payments, and remain in their homes and avoid foreclosure. It's primarily targeted to individuals who are unemployed or underemployed, who lost their jobs through no fault of their own, meaning they got laid off or had a job closure, or who have had their hours reduced. We also help people who have suffered from a financial hardship, like the death of a spouse or other homeowner on the mortgage, or someone who has had a medical hardship and was unable to work because of their medical issue.
So it sounds like there's been such trouble with this in Georgia, and we've recounted it since the start of this and back in 2007 and 2008 when people were already failing to pay their mortgages or making their mortgage payments. Are there still so many people left to help? I say that knowing already the answer, I think, but what do you think?
Right. I believe there are. There are a number of people who are still unemployed. We have about 48,000 people in Georgia receiving unemployment. Many of those people are homeowners and might be eligible for the program. But then there are others who are delinquent on their mortgage, maybe employed, but because of their medical issue that they've had in the past or the loss of a loved one, are having trouble making their mortgage payments. So I believe that there are definitely people out there that need this program.
All right. So how does the program actually work? What are the mechanics involved?
So the unemployment program actually makes the monthly mortgage payment to the bank on behalf of the homeowner. The homeowner applies for Home Safe Georgia assistance, primarily done online on our website at homesafegeorgia.com. And once the homeowner submits the requested documentation, we review for eligibility. We look primarily to make sure that the hardship is eligible, meaning they lost their job through no fault of their own. We primarily look to the Department of Labor for verification on that. So if the homeowner is receiving unemployment, we will consider that they've met that requirement. But they don't have to receive unemployment. If they work for an organization that doesn't provide that option, we will look at other considerations. But once they qualify, we will make the mortgage payment for up to 24 months. We look at the homeowner's situation every 3 months because if they found a job or have sufficient income, we will transition them for 2 months. Mm-hmm. But otherwise,
will you pay part of it and then they pay part of it?
We'll pay for 2 additional months once the person obtains a job.
So that's nice, because that gives you, well, sometimes it takes a month to even get your first paycheck.
Correct.
And then you get a month to just kind of build up a little bit of reserve.
That's right.
Okay, that is actually fantastic. So what is the typical number of months or the length of the time that a typical homeowner is on the Home Safe Georgia program?
We've seen a lot of people actually go through the entire program. Before we expanded the program, it provided assistance up to 18 months, mm-hmm. and we saw many people go the full 18 months. But we have had homeowners join the program and within just a few months have secured other employment and transition off the program. But generally speaking, I would say 15 to 18 months.
How many homeowners have you helped?
We've helped 6,000 homeowners remain in their homes, and after they transition from the program, 99% of those people 1 year later are still in their home. So that is really a success marker for us.
Yeah, it sure is. Absolutely. The HomeSafe program, and it's homesafegeorgia.com, even though it's a government program, it started out in a weird way. So it's homesafegeorgia.com. The phone number that you can call, they really want you to go to the website to find out the rules, to apply and all the rest. But there is a number, toll free, 877-519-4443. 877-519-4443, homesafegeorgia.com. So we've talked about this program from time to time. I haven't actually had anybody call the show, although now that I'm asking for this, I'm sure we'll get a lot of people calling or sending me email to questions@thinklink.com. But tell me some of the people, the stories, maintaining confidentiality, but describe some of the people who have been helped.
Well, we have one homeowner who is very excited to tell her story because, unfortunately, she suffered 3 job layoffs consecutively.
Oh, my gosh.
And really, she had done everything that she should have done. She had over $100,000 in savings. But after 3 job layoffs, she had exhausted all of her savings.
Right.
And came to HomeSafe Georgia for help. We were able to provide assistance to her for 18 months. And during that time, she realized that the reason she was having a little trouble was she needed some additional certification. So mm-hmm. she got a project management certification. She got a new job and transitioned off the program.
That's
and has
great.
Been very vocal about how it helped her save her home.
You know, this concept of saving your home, I think the banks certainly didn't recognize how important this would be to their bottom line. And I'm sure if they could wind the clock back and not have to pay $100 billion in fines or whatever they've paid, maybe they would have done a better job of this. But this idea of keeping people in their homes just helps everybody else, too. I mean, we would talk week in and week out about how if you stepped on your doorstep and look around, the number of foreclosures translates directly into how low your own home value went.
That's correct.
So avoiding foreclosure just helps the whole neighborhood recover faster.
Right. And that's how we see it. We're the Department of Community Affairs, so we're concerned about individuals and we're concerned about communities. And we know avoiding foreclosure for individuals makes communities stronger. It makes schools stronger. Children don't have to move from one school to another. So it definitely has a wide impact.
Now, we know there are more people than 6,000 who could have used this help. I mean, just the number of foreclosures alone in Georgia, several hundred thousand, I think, over the last few years. Why are more people clamoring for this? What is it about the hardest hit fund? Is that it was just like HARP, it was just too mortgage, you know, all the other mortgage programs, it was just too restrictive at first. People didn't understand how problematic it was. What had happened
well,
here?
Well, I think that there's a lot of messaging around foreclosures that makes it difficult for individuals to understand what help is specifically available for their situation. There's the HARP program, which provides refinances. Mm-hmm. There's HAMP that does loan modifications. And then there's HomeSafe Georgia, which, you know, actually pays the mortgage on behalf of the homeowner. But if you're a homeowner, you know, who is struggling with your finances, you may not be able to navigate that
right.
completely on your own. So initially there was the thought that people would clamor for the program. Mm-hmm. And we realize now that the messaging has to be very clear. We have to go to people where they are. We frequently attend job fairs, health fairs, housing fairs. We want to talk to people one-on-one and let them know how the program can help them. But we also find that people try to resolve the issue on their own. They're not used to going to the government for help. They have savings. They exhaust their savings. They go to their family. And what we really want to say is don't get to the bottom of all of your resources before you reach out to help.
There is no level. You don't have to do that to still qualify for the program. So you don't have to run through your $100,000 in lifetime savings.
Right. We're really looking, if people have savings that they can access, you know, we do look that that they would tap their savings some, but mm-hmm. their retirement, any sorts of settlements they've gotten for disability, we don't expect them to tap that. And we certainly don't expect that they'll tap their family members and those resources before they come to HomeSafe Georgia.
It just weakens everybody in the family cycle. I mean, you've already got families doubling up, tripling up.
Right.
If you start, you know, basically they're there because they can't afford their own places anyway. You start tapping that well dry, and I think you're in a recipe for disaster because suddenly it's three families that need help.
Right.
Really struggling. What do you think what is the biggest obstacle you face here?
The biggest obstacle is for people to see the program through. It's very similar to a refinance. I think people, when they know their mortgage rate might be a little high, they may hesitate to go through the refinance process just because it's a process. You mm-hmm. have to submit documentation and people review your situation. HomeSafe Georgia is similar to that. We do look for information that shows how much income there is. We look for whether or not there are other things that we have to take into consideration. But if people see the process through, you can get approved in 30 days. Mm-hmm. If it takes a while to submit the documents, it could be longer. But really seeing the process through is what I would encourage people to do.
So we're talking to Carmen Chubb. She's Deputy Commissioner for Housing for the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. This program we're talking about, folks, heads up, it is called Home Safe Georgia. It is the Home Safe Georgia program. HomeSafeGeorgia.com, 877-519-4443. If you can't make your mortgage payment because you've been laid off, this is a program you should consider. Pass it along to anybody who can listen. All right, stay tuned. We're going to have a few more minutes with Carmen, if you can spare the time.
Absolutely.
Awesome. A couple more minutes here on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours here on WSB.
Elise Glink, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, starting with yours in WSB. So we have in the studio Carmen Chubb. She's Deputy Commissioner of Housing at the Georgia Department of Community Affairs. We're talking about the Home Safe Georgia program and how you qualify. We spent a lot of time, Carmen, talking about it's a free program, free. We've talked a lot about how people who are unemployed or underemployed, but who else might qualify for this program?
Well, we recently expanded the program to target other financial situations that cause people to get behind on their mortgages. So, for example, if someone had a medical issue that caused them to lose work for a period of time, but now that person's back to work but can't catch up on their mortgage, we can help that person pay all their back mortgage payments up to 12 months. Or if there's a situation that has caused a permanent reduction in income, like the death of a spouse or unemployment that led someone to retirement and receipt of Social Security income, we can do a reduction of the principal in association with a refinance that can lower the monthly mortgage payment and make it affordable on a permanent basis.
So the things I want to get across to you folks, if you're listening, if you're having trouble making your mortgage payment because you lost a job or you death of a spouse or the spouse lost the job or there's a reduction to hardship, a medical issue, please pick up the phone, call 877-519-4443, or better yet, because it's Sunday, go online, homesafegeorgia.com. The program is free. They want to help you. They've got enough money, they think, to go all the way to 2017. But if everybody's listening today, calls now, applies now, the money, when it runs out, it runs out. Be a part of that and help save somebody's house. Carmen, we have to go, but thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, I appreciate it. Let us know what happens, okay?
Get an influx
on the day, morning after, and all heck is going to break loose. All right, stay tuned. Now we're going to help you fix your credit. Steve Ely is going to come by from eCredible. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, answering your money and real estate questions, rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. I should mention that you can find me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. You can go to thinklink.com for all kinds of information, thinklinkstore.com if you're interested in the Intentional Investor Series, or you can send an email to questions at thinklink.com, and I will try to get to your question and answer it for you. So Steve Ely, old friend of the show, good longtime friend of mine, joins me in the studio. Hey, Steve.
Hello, Elise. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you, too. So Steve is formerly of Equifax, but now he is the CEO of eCredible. eCredible is a place that people who don't have any credit can go and develop it, right?
Yeah, we typically see young people and immigrants who just don't have any kind of credit history. And as you know, you have to have a credit history to have a credit score. And so what we do is help them build their very first credit history made out of payments like rent and utilities and insurance and mobile phone, bills that people pay every single day but don't get typically reported to companies like Equifax. So we've been able to build a credit reporting agency that allows us to build a credit report for that consumer, put a credit score on it, and then they can go apply for things like credit cards, auto loans, home loans, and personal loans.
I'm seeing more and more discussion about rent being reported. I know that Experian has its rent bureau, but I know that other credit reporting bureaus are looking into it, and just other companies are trying to promote that. Maybe that's a good place to start, because what I want to talk about today are millennials who really don't have any sort of a credit profile. Renting is something they all seem to do, though.
They do. As a matter of fact, you know, there's a stat that I saw recently that said from a debt perspective, you know, millennials, today, their mortgage debt as part of their overall debt is only 43%, whereas 8 years ago, it was as high as 63%. So clearly, they're renting a lot more than they are buying homes. And so if you're renting, you'd love for that to count towards your credit score, obviously.
Sure.
And so Experian's been doing that for a while. TransUnion recently announced their ability to do that. And I suspect that Equifax will follow suit someday. But what's nice about that is now if you report your rent to what's called a rent reporter, there are companies out there that allow you to make your payment to them. They in turn verify that you're paying your lease as agreed, because it has to be documented and verified. Then they can in turn report that to the credit bureaus for you. And so one of the companies that we happen to like is a company called RentTrack. And so you can actually sign up for free, pay your rent to RentTrack, and RentTrack will report your payments to Experian and to TransUnion, which will affect your credit scores.
Now, I don't think there's is there a fee for doing that? Or
no, they're all free.
It's all free.
So, yeah, the landlord kind of bears the expense in that kind of business model. But the win in it for the landlord is that they know they're going to get paid on time every month. So
right.
If they've got a consumer that might be in trouble or paying their rent a little bit slow, they don't have to worry about chasing down that consumer. They know that RentTrack or one of these other companies is going to do that for them.
So of course, millennials living at home, this RentTrack thing isn't going to work for them. But there are other, usually those kinds of people are laden down with school loans. And I know that there's been just a whole focus on the $1 trillion school loan bubble that some people think we're in. But school loans are affecting more and more millennials. What are you seeing?
Yeah, they are. If you just look at the numbers here, back in 2005, only 13% of a millennial's debt was wrapped up in student loans. Today, it's 37%.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that
it's almost
as the mother of a college-attending student, I'm just floored by how much it costs.
As a father of a freshman in college, I relate to that as well.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that number has really spiked big time. And so now there's good news and bad news in there. The good news is that if you have a student loan and you're making payments on that on time, that helps build your credit history, which is going to affect your credit score. That's a good thing. The bad news is that if you just got out of college, you can't find a job and you're unemployed or underemployed, you're probably not paying your student loan on time. And so that could have a negative impact on your credit score.
Right. Oh, the whole thing is kind of crazy. So at eCredible, everybody, and as full disclosure, I'm an advisor to the company and I've provided content to the company. And I actually am a big believer in this mission, because if you don't want to take out loans to prove your credit worthiness, or if you can't take out loans because you don't have any credit, you need to have a way to do it. And eCredible works in a way where you're self-reporting, the things that you spend, right? Well, you tell it. You're the one who's CEO.
Yeah. So what we do is we're focused on that consumer that has kind of two mindsets. The debt-free consumer that says, you know what, I don't want to have credit cards. I don't want to have a mortgage. I don't want to have a car loan. I want to live my life debt-free. Well, about 5% of the population really wants to live that way. About 95% needs to have a car loan to have a car to drive to work.
And even people who follow Dave Ramsey, I mean, we are all about paying no more for things than you actually can afford, and cash is a great thing, but really hard to pay cash for an airplane ticket, for example, really hard to pay cash when you rent a car, really hard to pay cash. I mean, you've got to have some sort of debt, even a debit card, but beyond that, you've got to have some way to expand your credit line.
You do, and especially in times of emergency.
You know,
when people's lives kind of flow normally, that's all well and good. You may not even use your credit card, but if you hit a big bump in the road and you have a major auto repair that you need to take care of, you're probably going to rely on a credit card to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all about helping people get their first credit product. What I mean, you know, get that first car loan, that first credit card, so that when they get that, that company is going to report that monthly payment to the credit bureaus. Once you start getting that first payment to the credit bureaus, you start to thicken your credit file. You start to get enough information at the credit bureaus they can actually calculate a credit score based upon payments you're making to lenders.
One thing I want to talk about, and by the way, eCredible is free for consumers, so this isn't anything I'm asking you to do that you're going to make money from. And so the interesting thing that I think people, especially millennials, get stuck on is they get a free credit score out there in the marketplace, right? And they're like, oh, well, I have an 800 credit score, not realizing that it's a Vantage score out of basically 999, and they have an 800 or a 750, which is like a C+.
Right.
You know, they don't they think, oh, it's a FICO score. So there are these two competing models. Maybe spend a minute or two so that we can tone down the confusion.
Yeah, so FICO's been around for a very long time, and they are the predominant provider of credit scores to most companies in the United States. They would tell you that 90% of lenders use the FICO score when making a risk decision. So that means that up to maybe 10% are using Vantage scores. Well, Vantage recently modified their scale, so they got rid of the 999. Now they're the same scale as FICO. Now it'll take a while for lenders that use that new model to adopt that new model to eliminate the confusion with consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, there's still going to be some confusion with consumers. But I think the important thing for a consumer to recognize is that when you get your credit score, simply understand, do you have excellent credit, good credit, fair credit, bad credit, or poor credit? You know, that's kind of, you want to be in those kind of directional ranges so that if you know that you have excellent credit, that you have the opportunity to apply for a particular type of loan product, and you'll know what kind of financial terms you should expect to see there.
So one thing that I know we've discussed at length offline, but people are really getting confused. So credit card companies like Discover Card are providing the FICO credit card score, the one that they buy to decide whether or not you're credit worthy, which is a different FICO score than the house score that you would apply for a house loan or a car loan or just a general one, or the one that you can actually buy. Consumers can't actually buy any of these scores that are specifically used, and they definitely are tweaked. Sam recently got his Discover Card score, and it was like 849. And he's like, okay, first of all, that's way higher than any other credit score I've ever seen for myself. And secondly, nobody has 849. That was kind of is that really on the 850? And it seemed like a wrong score.
Yeah, that's probably an anomaly. I'm not sure if that's right. It'd be pretty hard to get an 849.
Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was higher than mine, so it can't possibly be right?
So I think what people need to understand, exactly. So what people need to understand is you have to kind of think like a lender here for a minute.
Uh-huh.
If you're a lender and you're doing auto loans, you're going to want to have a credit scoring model that is the best solution you can possibly get your hands on to assess risk for someone that's applying for an auto loan the way you run your business.
Right.
So let's say that you're Mercedes-Benz, and most of your customers have prime or super prime credit, where you're going to go get a scoring model that helps you understand the risk of that consumer. But let's say you're a buy here, pay here auto dealer. You're dealing with people that have virtually no credit or really, really bad credit.
Right.
And so you're going to focus on a credit scoring model that helps you understand that consumer a little bit better. Therein lies the confusion with most consumers, is that credit scores are optimized based upon the business's needs to assess you as a consumer, not on the consumer's need to understand where they they are from a credit perspective.
Sure.
And so the consumer getting access to a credit score like a FICO score, as in the case of Discover Card, is just kind of a byproduct of whatever score it is that that lender uses. Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of Sam's situation, he's getting a FICO score because he's a Discover Card credit holder. It just so happens that is the score that Discover Card is using to assess Sam's credit quality every single month. So there's a perfect match there. Now, if Sam were to think that he could take his credit score and go somewhere else and apply, he's got an 849. He's in great shape. Let's say he was a 749, though. Let's say he was a 749 and he went somewhere else to apply thinking, oh, I have fantastic credit. I'm going to get a killer rate on this loan that I need. Maybe not, because right. that company may not be using that scoring model.
Well, it's also worth noting that even if he has an 849, which I got to tell you, that just doesn't even sound right to me. But, and I've been doing this a really long time. But even if he has an 849 there, if he went to go get an auto loan, it probably wouldn't look anything like it, because we have other credit cards, all of which get paid on time. They overweight in that area. Mm-hmm. Auto loans, we've never had an auto loan. So if they pull it, it's going to be pulled on a more general factor. And before we run out of time with this segment, I do want you to run down for me again and for everybody listening how the FICO scoring model breaks down.
Sure. FICO scoring model has five major categories to it. They're not going to tell you everything about it, but there's five big categories.
Right.
So the biggest one that makes up 35% of your score is your payment history. Do you pay your bills on time? If you don't pay your bills on time, you just get killed on your credit score. So you got to pay those on time. 30% is the amount that you owe on all of your debt. So if you owe $10,000 in debt and you make $150,000, that's not so bad. If you owe $10,000 in debt and you're making $30,000, that's not very good.
Yeah, right.
And so that's going to hurt you quite a bit. 15% is the length of your credit history. So if you're a little bit older and you've got credit for 10, 15, 20 years, that's going to look strong. If you've been around for 1 year, that's not going to help you so much. 10% is new credit. Have you been applying for a lot of cards recently? And then finally, 10% is the types of credit you use. In other words, the blend of credit. If you've got a credit card and an auto loan and a mortgage, that's really good. Mm-hmm. If you just have a bunch of credit cards, that's not going to help you quite as much.
Right. But let's just make the point that you should never take on debt just so that you have an open trade line.
No.
Right. I mean, I don't want anybody to go out.
Sense.
Yeah. Don't finance a $50,000 car because you think that somehow that is going to help you raise your credit score.
Right.
It won't.
Right.
Let's just be clear. It won't work. Okay. You can't imagine how often I get that question. We're talking with Steve Ely. He's the CEO of eCredable, eCredable.com. It's a place that if you don't have credit, what the industry calls thin file, no file, meaning you might go to annualcreditreport.com and nothing comes back. You might go there and set up an account. It's free for consumers and start to help build a credit history that other people can recognize using alternative credit. Okay, it is. We're going to take a quick break. Can you stick around for a minute or two?
Absolutely.
All right. Steve's going to stick around. I hope you're going to stick around. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Hey, we only have an hour, which means we really only have two more minutes left with Steve Ely of eCredable. So, Steve, get a lot of questions on the show lately about rent-to-own. People are either renting and they want to buy, so lease with an option to buy, or a lot of our listeners are people who are investing in property. How do you verify somebody's credit when they really don't have credit?
Well, that's the business that eCredable's in. We do manual verifications of how people actually pay their bills. So in the case of a rent-to-own person that's done a deal with a landlord that says, I'm going to rent the home for X amount of dollars, and either all of that or a percentage of that's going to be applied towards a purchase price down the road, think of it as you're kind of building a down payment. Well, the way that we verify that is we literally, on behalf of the consumer, contact the landlord or the management company for the landlord, and we're a credit reporting agency. The consumer gives us what's called permissible purpose, so we act as their agent and contact the landlord or the management company, and we acquire in writing documentation that proves they've been paying that rent on time for the agreed upon time period.
It's funny, you're a credit reporting bureau for people who have no credit.
Yeah, we're the opposite of a traditional credit bureau. You know, traditional credit bureaus are basically credit bureaus where they get for free your payment data from banks and credit card companies and car loan companies and people like that. In our business model, the consumer comes to us and says, hey, I need help proving that I'm credit worthy. Would you please help me do that? And that's what we do for them.
Right. Start building your credit today.
Right.
Okay.
Very good.
Steve Ely is with eCredible.com, and you can go there and see my smiling face and some of the things I've written for your website. eCredible.com. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Elise. I enjoyed it.
All right. Always. We, unfortunately, are going to have to go because it's a one-hour show, and that means our 1 hour's up. So find me online at Glink, at GLANK, on Twitter or on Facebook. At thinklink.com, at expertrealestatetips.com, on our YouTube channel, Expert Real Estate Tips. You can always send me a question at questions@thinklink.com. And I'll be back next week. I hope you will as well. Have a great week, everybody. See you then.